My name is Michaela, and in this episode, we will be discussing underage drinking. Very quickly, I am just going to delve into a little bit of my family history, just so you guys can get a better understanding of why I think this topic is so important. Right off the top of my head, I can already think of about 8 family members who I would consider alcoholics by definition. The family members that immediately come to the top of my head are my grandpa and my dad. The amount of alcohol I have seen both my grandpa and my dad consume is completely outrageous. When I questioned both my grandmother and my mother as to why they were consuming so much alcohol on a day-to-day basis, and on what would even lead someone to want to consume that much alcohol, I was informed that they had started drinking as young as 12 and 13. Over time, they both ultimately got addicted to the substances that they were drinking, therefore leading to being an alcoholic later on in life. My intention is not to bore you with family history or a sob story, so let's jump into the research. The technical term for underage drinking is referred to as underage consumption of alcohol. Underage consumption of alcohol is becoming more and more common in the United States alone. In addition, alcohol has also become more and more accessible to minors. Because of how common underage drinking is, the laws have become less and less severe. In addition, fake IDs are being mass-produced nowadays, and IDs are also not being thoroughly checked at bars, liquor stores, clubs, any of that. So these two together as a combo do not go very well together at all. Many parents and adults view underage drinking as a rebellious teenage phase that will ultimately pass later on in life. These parents and members of society are not taking into consideration the dangerous side effects of underage drinking. Underage drinking can easily lead to DUIs, alcohol poisoning, other drug abuse, and last but not least, addiction. We as a community must come together to understand why a teenager may begin drinking, how a teenager can access alcohol, and how to deal with the repercussions of underage drinking. For today's episode, we are going to go in the order of why a teenager may begin drinking, how teenagers are able to access alcohol, laws regarding underage drinking, and then action plans. There are a few main reasons why a teenager may begin to drink. The first reason for underage drinking would be to appear cool or fit in with peers. This one is pretty self-explanatory. When a teenager is invited to a big party and see their peers or friends drinking, they are going to want to join in as to not feel like an outcast. Number two would be the need for relaxation. Teenagers are under an immense amount of stress at school to get good grades, and they need an outlet for the stress, which in some cases may be alcohol. Number three is going to be any mental health disorder. Both alcohol and drugs are often used as coping mechanisms for those suffering from mental illness. And last but not least is going to be any traumatic event experienced during childhood. These traumatic events can range from physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, or assault and rape. Moving on, the most common way for teenagers to access alcohol is actually through their parents. Some parents believe underage drinking is actually okay as long as they are supervising their teenager. Subconsciously, these parents are actually enforcing a very unhealthy habit. Teenagers can also access alcohol through unsecured alcohol left in the house. A lot of parents store alcohol either on the counter or in cabinets, and once they leave, teenagers will sneak this alcohol. With how common underage drinking is, some would believe that there are little to no laws regarding underage drinking. However, this cannot be more than false. Minimum penalties include suspension or revocation of driving privileges and a driver's license for a minimum of 1 year. The maximum penalties are 1 to 3 years of imprisonment and fines up to $25,000. Convictions range from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class 4 felony. These penalties and convictions go for any situation regarding a fake ID, being caught in possession of or under the influence of alcohol as a minor, and as far as DUIs and possible casualties. Now on to prevention strategies. At home in particular, there are a few ways parents can comfortably prevent easy alcohol access for teenagers. One example would be to lock away any open or easy accessible alcohol in the house. Leaving alcohol out in the open can be a major temptation. In addition, though it's very cliche, it's not going to hurt either the parent or the teenager if they can each sit down and have a talk together about why underage drinking is not okay. And though this last one may be a bit of a stretch for some people, either consciously or subconsciously, teenagers do care what their parents think about them, and if their parents are not fans of drinking, they are ultimately less likely to drink themselves. Now on to community prevention strategies. Parents of fellow teenagers can either report or confront any adult notoriously known for hosting underage parties. Parents can also confide in local police officers regarding any concerns about ID checking policies in local bars and liquor stores. There are also programs such as DARE that can be brought to a teenager school in order to provide drug and alcohol awareness. You can read more about my research online. There are many open blogs and forums that provide discussion about this topic. In light of this topic, maybe think twice before picking up that drink while you're out with friends. Or maybe be bold enough to open a discussion with your parents about family history of alcohol abuse and what their views are of underage drinking. Be sure to tune in next episode. We will be discussing how alcohol is ultimately a gateway drug.